Amen. Let's have some prayer. Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, we say we love you. Amen. Oh, we thank you. You have been with us yesterday. Amen. Oh, you are the Emmanuel. Amen. Oh, you are God with man. You are God with us. Amen. Oh, we thank you for what you have done in the previous two stages. Amen. Oh, this morning, we ask you to continue to strengthen us. Amen. Strengthen us with your sevenfold intensified spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, Amen. Thank you for this stage. Amen. This morning, bring us into this stage so that we can be one with you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning, we will continue to message five. Experience and enjoying Christ as everything in the church as a miniature of the New Jerusalem. As we have shared yesterday that this conference has divided into two series of messages. The first series was talking about this all-inclusive Christ. And the second series, from mystery to message five, tells us that if we enjoy this marvelous and wonderful Christ, there will be an issue. In the stage, first stage, that will be the corporate Emmanuel. Amen. And on the second stage, it will be the body Christ, the corporate Christ, which is Christ himself. And this morning, the Lord will bring us to the third stage, the same. If we experience Christ and enjoy Christ, then the church today will be a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Amen. And please pay attention that what we are talking about today, the New Jerusalem, the revelation, is not something what happened in the future, but what we can enjoy today, can experience, and can gain in today's church life. So, prepare for this message. The Lord will strengthen us and bring us into the heaven. Concerning the book of Revelation, maybe there are not too many people will realize that the book of Revelation is actually on the revelation of this wonderful Christ. Many people, when they went into this all-inclusive Christ, they may think about the book of Matthew, as we have seen yesterday, or the book of 1 Corinthians, which we have shared yesterday, which has 20 items of riches. But not many people think that the book of Revelation is a book concerning this all-inclusive Christ. When they think of the book of Revelation, they may think something strange. The dragons, 10 horns, 7 heads, some catastrophic event in the universe. But please read the very first verses in Revelation 1:1. What did he say? He said, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is revelation? The revelation is nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see the Romans 1. He has so many aspects, right? He is the center of God's administration. He is the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, rulers of the king of the earth, the firstborn, the one, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. So many riches in the book of Revelation. Yes. So, the book of Revelation in Greek was called Apocalypse. And this word has been composed of two words, apo and calypsis. Apocalypsis. Apo means from. It takes away from something. And calypsis means to cover. When this wonderful person was covered, You cannot see it. Hermano, come here. Let me do an illustration. Please face to the audience. I cover it. Who is this person? What did he look like? Is he handsome? Uncover. Amen. What's this? This is Revelation. The recovering for a wonderful person. So, apocalypse is the revelation of the wonderful person. But I tell you, this wonderful person is somehow different from the person in the first two stages. Because in the first Revelation chapter 1 tells us that when John saw this person, he fell at his feet and as died. Didn't that the Apostle John don't know the Lord Jesus? He has been walking with the Lord Jesus for at least 3.5 years. And he even lied at the breast of the Lord Jesus. How come he saw this person? It seems that he's so afraid. He did not recognize his person. He even fell at his feet as dead. He's so afraid. How come? And also, in Revelation chapter 1, he tells us that this person, his eye was like the flame of fire. In the Song of Psalms, tells us the Lord Jesus' eye was as a dove. It's gentle, full of love, right? And in the book of Revelation, out from his mouth proceed a sharp two-edged sword. The book of Luke tells us that the word of grace proceed out from his mouth. And the book of Song of Songs tells us that his mouth was lovely. But how come in the book of Revelation, out from his mouth proceed a sharp two-edged sword? And also, his face is shining like a sun. This has something to do with the judgment, with the shining. But in the Song of Psalms, it tells us that the Lord Jesus' face was lovely. Once he was lovely, but now he's like the shining. It's pertaining to the judgment. Why? You may ask why. Then you realize something. This very Christ in Revelation, in the third stage, in the church, which has been intensified, this Lord Jesus is coming not just for redemption and not just for salvation, but for the carrying out for his universal administration. This Christ has very much to do with his universal administration. So in this outline, this word administration has been appealed 10 times. The center for this message is about God's administration. And you may ask the reason why there is the need for the law to carry out his universal administration. As we have pointed out yesterday, that there are three I's to describe the full ministry of Christ, right? In the first stage, it is the incarnation. That is in the first Gospels, in the four Gospels. The second stage is called the inclusion. Everything that needs to be done, has been included. Every revelation that needs to be revealed, has been included. But still, there is the need for the third stage. The stage of intensification. Which stage were we in today? At least from the book of Revelation, he said that which was written about 90 AD. At least at the end for the first century, the spirit that John saw is not called the spirit only. He's called the seven spirits. Amen. The seven spirits does not mean that we have seven different persons of spirit. That we mean one spirit who has been intensified sevenfold. Last year, I drove to Oklahoma City to to attending the Thanksgiving conference. And I went to a mountain area, a hill country in St. Louis, because I want to receive the hospitality by certain brothers. It was so dark. So dark. No car, but so dark. So I turned on the light of my car to the bright beam light. When the weather is not so dark, you just need to turn on the headlight. But when it becomes extremely dark, you need to turn on the bright beam light, right? So the same way, when the church is normal, the Spirit, the light-giving Spirit, will meet the need of the church. But when the church was degraded, was become extremely dark, there's a need for the servant spirit to become the sevenfold intensified spirit. I'll give you a proof. In Revelation chapter 2, when the Lord said to the church in Thyatira, he said, "What you have, hold fast until I come." You have to keep what you have until I come. What does that mean? That means you have something, but you lost, so you have to keep it. You have to hold fast on it unless you lose it. And the Lord also rebuked to the church in Sardis. He said that what you have done was not complete in my eye. You have something, but was not complete. The Lord had given the work. The Lord had given his position to us, but it was not complete. So it needed to be finished. This is the first reason that the Lord needs to be intensified sevenfold. There's another reason. Let me join your quarter. There's another reason. During this conference, a brother said that when you look at the book of Revelation, it's very strange that whenever he mentioned the Lord, he always say, "I come quickly." 1:1, Revelation said, the revelation of Jesus Christ to his lamb. "Behold, I come quickly." And the name of this God, he was, he is, and what? He is coming. Saints, do you realize the Lord is coming? And at the end of the Revelation, chapter 22, said 3 times, "Behold, I come quickly." If you realize the Lord will come quickly, your attitude will be very different. Sometimes I went to airport to catch the flight for the transit. And they say, the United, which number, is going to take off quickly. Then what should you do? Do you have time to buy the hamburger? No. Do you have time to go to the book stand? No. What should you do? You should go quickly. So if you realize that the Lord will come quickly, then what you will do? Your attitude will be different. Today, in our concept, we think that the Lord will come in the future, after a long period of time. But since, if you realize the Lord will come quickly, our attitude will be very different. So, if we realize the Lord will come quickly, our spirit needs to be intensified sevenfold. Amen. This is the Rome numeral 1. So let's read the Rome numeral 2 together. Amen. In Revelation 5:1-10, we see Christ as the Lion Lamb in the midst of the throne, holding the seven seals of God's universal administration. Amen. Now let me print a grand picture for you in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, we see the three different kinds of persons and these scenes of universe. The first is the one who sits on the throne. And the second category is the 24 elders. The third category is 4 living creatures. But I tell you, they are not the main figure. The main figure is in chapter 5. When the one sits on the throne, who take a scroll in his right hand, and there is a strong angel proclaim, "Who is worthy to to open the scroll. Do you know what did this scroll read? Write? The footnote said, that is the grand title deed in the universe. It speaks about the thought of God concerning the man, concerning the children of Israel, concerning the church, concerning the destination of this universe. If no one can open the scroll, the universe will remain a mystery to us. You know that there are so many wise men, so many intelligent people, they try to explain the origin, the destination of this universe, but they cannot, because no one is worthy found to be opened the scroll. And the next verse said, and the strong angel proclaimed, who is worthy to open the scroll? Then we can find. They found on the earth, they found in heaven, and even under the earth, and there is no one worthy to open the scroll. So the next verse said, the John began to cry. He cried loudly, because no one can open the scroll. But there's an elder say, do not cry. Do not cry. This morning, we don't need to cry. Because why? Because there is a person. The Lamb of the tribe of Judah. The root of David, he's worthy. Don't you feel exciting? I feel so excited. This is the one. Unless this one, the universe will remain still a mystery to us. But there is one who is worthy to open the scroll. This book has been opened to us. Because there is the one, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has opened the scroll for us. So today, we understand the mystery of this universe. We understand the meaning of human life. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's very strange that Asa, Christ was recommended to the Apostle John as the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. But he appeared to John as a lamb. We just read the verses. The elder said, behold, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. So, what do you expect it to see? A lion, right? But what did John saw? A lamb. Very strange. And this lamb has been just slain. So, the question is whether he is a lion or he is a lamb. Saints, what do you say? He's a lamb or he's a lamb? The correct title is, he is a lion lamb. On one hand, he is a lion to be fight with the enemy. But on one hand, he is a lamb for the redemption of his chosen people. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is a lion lamb. Amen. So we say, the main figure in the book of Revelation was a lion of the tribe of Judah. The title, Lion of the tribe of Judah, signified Christ as a triumphant king. The lamb then indicated that Christ was a redeemer, has become the victor as the lion. In his heavenly ministry, as the victor, he will conquer all his enemies and bring in his kingdom to the earth. Amen. Hallelujah for this lamb. Amen. And see, say, the lamb then, when he described this lamb then, he said that he was standing, has seven flashing, burning eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. Since the lion had been slain, so you expected that the next verse should say, oh, there are lots of water, and there are lots of blood come from his side, right? But when John saw this lamb, he did not address him as the lamb with many, which was the blood has been bleeding from his side. But he said, this lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. Do you know what the horns mean? In the ancient time, the horn is always related to the strength of fighting. Yeah, horn. When you look at the book of Revelation, this lamb is very different from the lamb in the book of John. In the book of John, this lamb is, behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. But I tell you, the lamb here in the book of Revelation is not just for redemption, but for the fighting with the overcomer. Chapter 2, the main child related to the lamb. Chapter 14, 44,000 overcoming sin in the grassy sea related to the lamb. Chapter 17, the lamb will come with his overcomer to fight with 10 kings related to the lamb. So the lamb here is very much different from the lamb in the previous stage. He is the lamb for fighting. And also, this lamb has seven burning eyes. What the burning eye means? The point says that the eyes is for transfusion what he has into us. Today, this lamb is there searching, burning, and transfusion what he has into us. So the more we receive his transfusion, the more we will be one with him. The more we will be one with his heart desire. But I tell you, this matter of burning is not just for burning. We have a song, right? Burning, burning, burning. What?
We are burning.
For what? Even to our spirit turning. Then? Amen. Okay. You know this song. But many times we sing this song, burning, 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 eventually burning, burning to nothing. But what is the meaning of burning? Brother Winnesley make a very good illustration. He said, whenever you get into the car and turn on your light, what are you doing? You begin to move. So the meaning of burning is for us to move. If we just receive the burning without any action, the burning is in vain. But in Revelation, it says, tell us that the lamb, seven lamb is burning. Burning is for what? Burning is for the move of God in this universe. When I prepare this message, I have a feeling today, if we experience this sevenfold intensified spirit, we will not be just the same as before. We will rise up and coordinate with the Lord in his universal administration. Since we all live in Chicago, right? Do you know how many population in this big city? 9.7 million people, according to Wikipedia. Right? 97 million. Look at how many community which do not preach the gospel. Look at how many campus we have. Once Brother Kerry told me that within a radius of 50 miles, we have about 600,000 students within this metro Chicago area. And how many cities? We don't have the golden lampstand. Since, can we still sit here, enjoy the law only, without any action? May the Lord burn us. May the Lord encourage us. May the Lord incite us. That we'll be rise up to be one with his move. Romans D, capital D said, as the one enthroned to be the heavenly administrator in God's universal government, Christ as the Lamb, then, the overcoming Redeemer, is worthy to open the scroll of God's economy. He is the heavenly administrator in God's universal government. So the reason why the book of Revelation, this Christ appeared as a lion lamb, is for the carrying out for God's universal administration. He is the ruler of kings. He is the King of Kings, and He is the one who will rule the universe. Through the human histories, many great people come one-on-one. Nebuchadnezzar may be the first. Cyrus the king may be the second. And Alexander the Great may be the third. Julius Caesar may be the fourth. But one by one, they come on the stage. They receive the glory. They receive the prod from people, but they're gone. Why? Because they are not the ruler of this universe. They are only the minor figure. They just pray according to the script which has been written in the scroll. And who is the real director? Who is the one behind the scene? He's the Lion Man! Saints, if you want to rise up and coordinate with the Lord, you will experience that He is the one. He is the ruler of this universe. He will be accompanied with us to accomplish His economy. I remember during these past 2 years, we have many times, many saints in Chicago area go to knock on door in our neighborhood. I tell you, whenever you go out to coordinate with the Lord, you will always feel that this one is the ruler of this universe. If you do not go out, you cannot experience this. But once you go out, you will really feel that, wow, this king, this king of kings, this ruler of the universe is really with us. Amen. So this is a burden for this message. Chapter E, we read together. Amen. We all must worship Christ, the Lion. He will be administrator as the one in the heaven, administrating all things for the fulfillment of the God's economy. Then we will experience that today's church life is a miniature of the new Jerusalem. Amen. The supply, the light, the glory, the foundation, the gate are all in new Jerusalem. And this is not something far in the future that we can enjoy today. But how come can we experience all this item, the church as the miniature of the new Jerusalem? The secret is that we have to be coordinated with Lion Dan to carry out his universal administration. Amen. So brothers, we should continue to share the Rome numeral 3.
Conference reminder title is the recovery of Christ as everything in the church. The recovery of Christ as everything in the church. Amen. In the first two messages, we saw this wonderful, all-inclusive, unsearchably rich Christ. Indescribable. He is immeasurable. He is universally rich. He is described as the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. You know, yesterday we saw that particularly from the book of Matthew, from the book of 1 Corinthians, and this morning we are on the book of Revelation. These are the three books in the New Testament that give us the richest presentation, revelation concerning this all-inclusive Christ. But this all-inclusive Christ, He is to be everything to us in the church. He wants to be enjoyed by us, not just for our own individual personal spiritual life. He is everything to us to be enjoyed by us is for the church. So Christ, who is the unsearchably rich one, he is for the church. He is in the church. He is with the church. He is for the church. Eventually, he is the church. The church is just Christ himself. So as we enjoy this wonderful one, all-inclusive one, there will be an issue. The issue, as we have seen yesterday, he is the corporate Emmanuel. He was personally, individually, that Emmanuel who brought God to man. He brought the God in the heaven to the earth when he was incarnated. He was the very reality of incarnate, of Emmanuel. He was God with us. But then his desire is to have himself enlarged, expanded to become the corporate Emmanuel. As he promised at the end of Matthew that he will be with us until the consummation of the age. So this morning, saints, he is with us. We are not here meeting just by ourselves. This Lord Jesus Christ, the embodiment of the triune God, he is here with us. So in a very good sense, we are today the corporate Emmanuel. That's what the church is. As we enjoy this all-inclusive one, he is the God being with man. Now, together, if man is going to find God, they have to come to the church, the corporate Emmanuel. Then there's a second aspect we saw. As we enjoy this wonderfully rich one, we become the corporate Christ, the body Christ. Do you realize Christ is not only an individual person? Christ is a corporate person. There is this corporate aspect of Christ. Saints, if we are going to be the proper and the genuine church, we have to be Christ. We have to be the corporate Christ, the body Christ, right? This is what we saw yesterday. And then today, Brother Livingstone opened up this matter in this third book we cover is Revelation. Again, we see this all these wonderful aspects of Christ. Now, as we enjoy all these aspects of Christ, and especially this aspect of Christ being the Lion Lamb. Amen. This is the central item of Christ revealed in Revelation. He is the Lion Lamb. Amen. Do you like the lion or do you like the lamb? Huh? You like both, huh? Well, honestly, I think you like the lamb better, right? The lion is a little scary, right? It can handle the lamb. That's very comfortable. And lion is scary, too scary. But Christ, he is both. At the same time, he is the lamb as well as the lion. Amen. To us, to God's redeemed, he is the lamb. He came to us. He was the Lamb of God, shedding the blood for us so that we may be redeemed back to God. What is to be redeemed? Redeemed means, number one, we are terminated. And number two, we are brought back to God. And number three, we are replaced. We are replaced. Now it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Amen. The full significance of redemption is that not only that our sins are forgiven, but also we are terminated. And we are brought back to God. And now Christ lives in us. He lives in our place. We are replaced. He is our total replacement. So we can never forget, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the Lamb. Amen. even for eternity, we'll be reminded he is the Lamb God. Right? Even on the in Revelation 22, we have the one sitting on the throne. He is God and the Lamb. So no matter how much we grow in our spiritual life, we can never forget Christ is the very Lamb who died for us, who redeemed us, he terminated us, he brought us to God, and now he is our total replacement. He lives in us. He lives with us. He lives one with us. This is to us. So now we have been redeemed by him being the Lamb. But how about his being the Lion? His being the Lion is toward God's enemy. Toward God's enemy, he is the victorious Lion. Praise the Lord. Christ on the cross, not only on the one hand, died as the Lamb to redeem us, to shed the blood for us. He has, on the cross, he has won the victory. Amen. He is the real victor. Satan has been defeated. Christ is the victorious Lion. Among so many aspects of Christ revealed in Revelation, we have to focus on this. We have to enjoy this. We have to experience this. This is what we see in chapter 5 of Revelation. And this is also, he is the one who will open up the seven seals. The Lion Lamb is the one who opens up the seven seals of God's economy. What are the seven seals? The seven seals is the mystery of the entire economy of God. Now, Christ as the victorious Lion Lamb is the only one qualified to open up this economy to God's people, to carry out God's administration in this universe. Praise the Lord. All the angels, all the elders, you don't have to weep anymore. There is one who has won the victory. Amen. He is the Lion of Judah. Amen. You know, in Genesis chapter 49, with the prophecy by Jacob, blessing his sons, okay? Jacob's sons. In chapter 49, he prophesied concerning Judah. Judah is going to be a young lion. And let me read that to you. This is in chapter 49, verse 9. Judah is a young lion. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he stretches out like a lion, and like a lioness, who will rouse him up? So here Jacob mentioned three kinds of lion. One is a young lion. And second is a couching lion. And third is a lioness who produces little lions, the lion cubs. Very meaningful. The young lion, they are full of vigor, full of energy. Young lion just go after the prey. And after he got the prey, they usually the lion go down to the plain to get the prey. And then after they get the prey, it'll bring up to the mountain and to enjoy there. And after enjoy, he just couches there. Crouches there, just enjoying, right? And then you have the mother, the lioness. Who is the mother lion? For the producing of many lion cubs. What's the meaning? What is the significance of this? This Christ, he is the Lion of Judah. Firstly, he is the young lion, full of energy, full of vigor. He went to the cross, he defeated the enemy. Saints, we all need to be young lions. For God's ultimate move for the consummation of the New Jerusalem, we need to experience Christ as this lion lamb. On the one hand, as lamb to redeem us, but also as lion, full of vigor, full of energy. This morning, on the one hand, it's so good to see, I would say, that the saints in the Lord's recovery are all little lambs. We're all very nice, very sweet, very pleasant. We're all little lambs. But if we are going to consummate God's economy, we're going to carry out God's administration, we all need to become lion cubs. We need to be lions, to be strong, to be strengthened. We are not afraid of the enemy. I shared with you yesterday that, since last year, in December, we had the 3 weeks of prayer. And that was really like a declaration of war to the enemy that stirred up the enemy's nest, causing him to arouse him, stirred him up to do so many things now to attack us. In that conference that we are speaking out of, right, in the Chinese-speaking conference, we never experienced a power outage in a conference like that. Over 4,000 saints came together, and all of a sudden, for no reason, Saturday early morning, 2 or 3 o'clock, some guy just with his car ran into this power pole and knocked down the transformer and wiped out the whole power grid in the whole area. So that affected our whole our conference center. We thought, well, it's only for a couple of hours. It turned out for the whole day on Saturday. That's our whole, we had 3 meetings that day. And fortunately, the Lord gave us a little power. You know, like Philadelphia, little power. Just enough to open the doors, enough to have just a little lighting, little dim. You know, in Africa, we're used to this kind of power outage. We never thought in America we have power outage. You know, in Africa, you know, many times in the conferences, we're enjoying the Lord, speaking the words, and all the lights went out. But everybody just continuing enjoying the Lord. All the white teeth, you know, that's showing out. Everything is black, all the white teeth, black eyes, enjoying Christ. But anyway, that was Africa, but I didn't realize we didn't expect this to happen here in the U.S. But anyhow, my point is, we realized that was an attack from the enemy. He was not happy for the recovery to have this conference. And this also shows you how important this conference is. How crucial this matter of being recovered back to Christ as everything in the church. Saints, this is life or death to us. If we don't have Christ as everything in the church, we are through. We are just another part of Christianity. We are just another kind of religious movement. But the Lord does not have time to play around with us anymore. He does not have time to go after another people. So now we are at a point that He is also very much conscious of the final stage, the end time. He wants to come back. He does not want to delay anymore. Saints, what He said when He says, "I come quickly." He meant He wanted to come quickly. It was us who has been delaying Him all these years. But we surely felt these days His footsteps are closer than ever before. You look at the whole world situation, economically, politically, socially, environmentally, financially, in every aspect. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is coming soon. He wants to come back. But in order for Him to come back, there has to be the corresponding condition with His people. We cannot be playing around like in today's Christianity, just playing church. We are not here playing church. We must be those enjoying Christ as everything. Amen. Enjoying Christ as all. Saints, yesterday we spent quite a bit of time talking about this. Christ is not just our Savior. Christ is not just my master. Christ is not just my food. He is my all. He is our everything. It matters very much today. Where are you? If you are not in the church, if you're not in the church life, in this environment, you may still have Christ as your Savior. You may still have Christ as your peace. But it's not the same. When you are in the genuine and proper church life, here, Christ is our all. Amen. He is everything to us. The Lord is, you may say, he is desperate to recover this among us. He will not stand to allow us to drift away like the rest of the Christian in Christianity. We cannot repeat that. There's no time for it. So the Lord is desperate to bring us back to this matter, to have Christ as everything. And it's not just for our own individual, personal Christian life, but is in the church. In the church. And Satan knows it. So since we prayed last December, I tell you, that stirred up the enemy's nest. There were thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of hours of prayer ascending to the throne last December. Brothers all over the world on our knees, praying strategically for God's move. Some testify they never prayed so much in their whole life as in those 3 weeks. Right? In those 3 weeks, just hours and hours, co-workers, elders, many saints praying together by twos and threes. Nowadays, praying for 1 hour is nothing. We pray for 2 hours, 3 hours, just like this. But the point was, that was actually a declaration of war to the enemy. Because we are not here standing with all these negative situations that's going on in the degradation. Now we pray God's kingdom will come. Amen. We pray his will be done. Amen. On the earth as it is in the heavens. Amen. I may be wrong, but I don't believe in the last 2,000 years there has been a people praying in this kind of a way. In this kind of oneness, with this kind of fervency, this kind of strategicness, like what we did in the beginning of December. So the enemy, so whether you like it or not, brothers and sisters, today we are all been engaged in this fighting. We are in the ring. Whether you feel like you get your gloves on or not, we are in the ring already. The fight is on. So here we are really in the time of Revelation. In Revelation, we see this Christ, he is not just a lamb, but he is also the lion. The young lion, full of energy. He is the victor, right? He has won the victory. And now he is enjoying the prey. He is couching there, resting. That couching lion signifies the ascended Christ. You know, Ephesians 4 talks about this Christ, in his ascension, he brought with him a train of vanquished foes. Now in the heavens, he is enjoying his what? His prey. All his captured foes. And then he gave them as gifts to his body. So, Christ as the young lion and as the couching lion, he has defeated the prey. Now he is enjoying the prey. And now he is also the lioness producing lion cubs. Amen. Jason, you are a little lion. Amen. We all have to be little lions. Amen. We cannot be so nice. We cannot be so passive, so mild, like little lamb. there's time for it, for sure. You know, in the meetings, we enjoy the Lord very much. We're a bunch of little lambs just enjoying so sweet of the Lord and to one another. But to the enemy and related to God's move, we all need to be the lion cubs. Christ, the mother lion, is producing us as the many little lions, the young lions. You know what is the church in Chicago? The church in Chicago is a lion country. It's a lion country. And I really hope, especially I'm burning for many of the young brothers and sisters, young working ones, young adults. Don't be passive. You all need to become the young lions. Burden for the Lord's move. There's a lot of things going on in the Lord's move all over the earth. Saints, we need to rise up as the little lion. Right? A mother lion, he has won the victory. Now he is producing us as the little lion to be one with him, to carry out his administration. We need to be aggressive. We need to take initiative to cooperate with him. God is moving. God is active. But on our part, many times we are still passive and just involved with our own things. Especially with many of the young saints. We need to become the little young lions. Right? When you come to the matter of the church life, the service, right? Don't say, well, let somebody else do it. No, you do it. You rise up. When it comes to the matter of preaching the gospel, who go? I go. When it comes to the matter of migration, or send Bill. No, don't send Bill. You go. We need to be the young lions. Oh. You know, these days, anyway, this morning I was reading an email. The brother, there was, last year there were about 5 young Iranians got saved. And they're being trained right now. They went to India for full-time training. And then they moved them around because whatever the situation, moved them to Istanbul. And then Istanbul, they recently just purchased a building to be as a hospitality house and also a place to train, you know, these young people. So there's these Iranians being trained there for a number of weeks, and then I think they went to Lebanon. But anyway, they are undergoing the training. And they are just, the Lord is coming back, saints. Amen. He has no time to fool around. Now, an area that he has to reach is the Arabic-speaking world, Amen. The Middle East. Last year, the golden lampstand in Rome was restored. Amen. Last June, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're heading that direction. The Lord is moving. In order to come back, well, eventually, soon, not, won't be too long, there will be the church, the golden lampstand in Jerusalem. Amen. And even there in the Arabic-speaking countries, the Lord is doing very much. But these days, we need to be strong. Of course, in ourselves, we are not strong in ourselves. We may be jellyfish. But Christ is a young lion. And he is a mother lion, producing us as the lion cubs. Every church life should be a lion country. We don't give room to Satan. Satan will try to attack. For sure, this year. Even this morning, you know, I was considering before the Lord, well, this year will not be an easy year. I would say there will be attack from the enemy from different angles in your family life, your health, your job. Saints, don't be intimidated. We are in the lion country. We have Christ. He is a lioness. He is a mother lion. We have to tell the enemy, don't fool around with me. I'll tell my mother. He has already won the victory. Really, brothers and sisters, that's why, you know, we are still very burdened concerning this matter of prayer. We have to persevere in prayer because we are now engaged in this spiritual warfare. And indeed, we are in a final stage, right? Livingstone mentioned about these three stages. We have the stage of incarnation, the stage of inclusion, and then the stage of intensification. This is the stage we are in. We are in the stage of revelation. We have to know, experience, and enjoy this Christ who is the Lion Lamb. Lion Lamb. Then we will be produced as the victors together with him, right? The little lion, to issue in the church life as a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Well, this is the third aspect of the church we covered this weekend. First, as the corporate Emmanuel. That is the place where God's presence is felt, right? We are the corporate Emmanuel where God and man is being brought here. That man comes among us, they can sense God is here with us. Then we are also the corporate Christ, the body Christ. Here in the body Christ, we are connected, joined one to another. And here in this body Christ, the supply here is exhaustless. And I was reminded of in Genesis 28, and also Genesis 31 and also 35. The Lord told Abraham in chapter 17, that he is El Shaddai, meaning he is the all-sufficient God. And telling Abraham that his name shall no longer be called Abram, but will be changed to Abraham. He is to be the father of many nations. God's desire is not just to have one Abram. He wants to have an Abraham who is the father of many nations. God wants to gain a kingdom. And as he is gaining this kingdom, he told Abraham that he is El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient God. And then in chapter 28 with Jacob, when he ran away from his brother in the wilderness, he saw the dream, right? The ladder reaching up to the heavens. He saw this is Beth. He said, this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. And he called this place Bethel. And God spoke to him. God spoke to him. And then after spending 20 years with his uncle Laban, he finally decided to return. And he stopped. He made a stop there in Bethel, where he first saw the dream 20 years before. And there he built an altar. And he called that place El Bethel, God of the house of God. And there Jehovah appeared to him and told him, Jacob, I am El Shaddai. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob. You shall be called Israel, the Prince of God. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, is the God for the house of God. It's the God who becomes the exhaustless, bountiful supply to the ones who are transformed and built into his house. Saints, none of us here should be here for our own individual spiritual attainment. We are here for God's house. We are here for God's building. We are here for this corporate expression of God. The Bible clearly reveals this to us. God's intention is never just to gain some spiritual individuals. God's intention is to gain a corporate building. That corporate Emmanuel is a building. The body Christ is a building. The New Jerusalem is a building. This is what God is after. And when we are touching this building, when we are built into this building, we experience a God who is, his name is El Shaddai. We experience a God whose name is all-sufficient God. Here, there's no lack. Here, there's no lack, brothers and sisters. If you're in the church life, even though you may be undergoing situation, you have difficulties at your job, you may have some conflict in your family, but I tell you, you are in the place where God is El Shaddai. Amen. He's the all-sufficient one. There's no lack here. That's why we say, when you're in the body, when you're touching the body of Christ, what we are enjoying are not just merely some individual separate snapshots of some riches of Christ. Oh, Christ is rich to me in this way, in that way, in some individual isolated aspects. But rather, when we are in the body Christ, we are under a panorama. We are in a panorama. This Christ is the fullness to us. He is the all-sufficient God. As the exhaustless, bountiful God with a supply to meet all our needs. So when you're in this body, when you're connected in the body, your individual personal weakness, failure, strong or weak, does not matter that much. Of course, you need to pursue the Lord. But your individual condition does not matter so much if you are genuinely connected, joined, knit in the body of Christ. It's just like our human body. Just like our human body. My finger does not have to worry about whether I have the full strength to do certain things. As long as I'm connected to the body, I'm enjoying the life flow in the body. When the body moves, I just move along and then it will do some wonderful things. But if this little finger wants to show how strong it is, it jumps off from the body, it's trying to show off how strong this little finger is. Maybe it can lift up 1 pound. But then you put two pounds, you feel a little strenuous. You feel a little exhausted, tiredness. Don't you feel sometimes, oh, I feel a little strenuous, my Christian life, a little strenuous, too tiresome. Maybe you have detached yourself from the body. When we are in the body, there's no strenuousness. Even though we may not, our capacity may not be that big, we're just a little pinky. But as long as we are in the body, the supply here is inexhaustible. There's no down day in the body of Christ. Individually, you have your ups and downs. But in the body of Christ, there's no down day. Because this body is also Christ. He is the body Christ. And this body Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of God. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. And today we are part of this body. Not only enjoying the various items of riches, but also partaking of the fullness. Of his fullness we received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? Your individual personal struggling is over. If you see yourself, you are part of this body, Christ. And now this morning, we must be also the miniature of the New Jerusalem. What is the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem is the consummation, is the totality of God's work in and with his people for the last 6,000 years. New Jerusalem is the final product. That is the ultimate consummation of the entire divine revelation. After 66 books of the Bible, what do we see at the end? We see not individual spiritual persons parading down the aisle. Oh, how spiritual I was. How useful I was. How powerful I was. Samson walked down the aisle. Abraham walked down the aisle. Jacob walked down the aisle. No, you don't see this. At the end of the Bible, we only see one city. One holy city. That building, the New Jerusalem, with 12 gates, three on each side. People from all corners of the earth being brought to this building with the throne in the center, with one river, one stream flowing down from the throne, with a street, one street, one tree of life, feeding, maintaining the whole city. Here this city is open, reaching out to all corners of the earth. So the New Jerusalem is a consummation, and it is a totality of all of God's work in and with his people. Today we say, as we enjoy this Christ as the Lion Lamb, we will issue in a church life that is a miniature of the New Jerusalem. You may consider the corporate Emmanuel, maybe in the stage of incarnation. This corporate body, Christ, may be more related to the inclusion. And then the stage of the miniature New Jerusalem related to the intensification. God wants to gain this New Jerusalem. Of course, on the one hand, the Bible tells us it's already done. New Jerusalem already completed. John saw it. John already saw it. He saw the holy city descending from heaven to earth. So that is an accomplished work. Now, we are being brought into this picture to be realized in our experience that we, by enjoying in this third stage of Christ's full ministry, in the stage of intensification, we experience him as the Lion Lamb. Amen. We are being intensified by him and even produced by him as the victors, as the overcomers. Not being passive to the enemy, we need to be strong. Unfortunately, many times, we are like little lamb to Satan. But we are like a lion to our wife, our husband, our brothers. We need to be like lion to the devil. And little lamb, even to the brothers and sisters. Right? To our family. We are ministering life, supplying life one to another. But to Satan, we need to be bold, we need to be strong, and related to God's move, we all need to be lion cubs. Lord, here I am, send me. Amen. I really admire this brother John. I'm staying with him, hospitality. And brother John told me he is close to 80, but I think he is a little young lion cub. I appreciate it. He is ready to go. Really, all of us, we should forget about how old we are, how young we are. We all are lion cubs. Amen. Cooperating with our mother lion, this young lion. Toward the enemy, we need to be strong, not to give in to all his lies, all his tactics, and also to God's move, we need to be like lions. Ready to move. So that God's move on this earth may be unhindered, can be quickly completed. We are really at this stage. I don't know, saints, how many years the Lord will give us still. It will not be just merely 1 or 2 years, probably 20 years, maybe 30 years. I doubt we'll be beyond 30 years. But these next 20, 30 years is a very critical time, how we respond to the Lord in his three ministries, the three stages of his ministry, to enjoy him, to be produced as a church, as a corporate Emmanuel, bringing God to man, as a corporate body Christ, being joined and knit together, allowing, enjoying his inexhaustible, limitless riches, and also as a miniature of the New Jerusalem. To allow him to finish his work. So remember, the New Jerusalem is just the totality of all of God's work in and with his people. That means including man's salvation, their growth in life, the maturation in life. We want to be today's Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, be able to reach out to so many God's chosen people all over the earth, all over here in the Chicago metro area, in Illinois, in the USA. Amen. Right? This past month, there are so many saints, trainees went out to the GTA, CA cities. Gospels going out, many wonderful contacts. Many saints went out to London, following up on the Bible recipients. Some went to South Africa also. Some went to India. Saints, the Lion Cups are just going everywhere. Yeah. I believe, you know, between now and the Lord comes back, there has to be allowing the Lord to reach out to all over this earth, fulfilling his word in Matthew 24:14, right? The gospel of this kingdom must be preached to the whole inhabited earth as a testimony. Then the end will come. We are just right here at the threshold, right? So now, this morning, you know who you are. Who are you? A lion cub. You're a lion cub. Amen. Right? Following your mother lion. And to produce the church life all over the earth as a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Now, let me just quickly cover these Roman numeral 3, these points. How about you all read Roman numeral 3 together? It says the New Jerusalem is the unique pattern in the scriptures concerning the church, the building up of the church, and the church life. So the New Jerusalem is just the church in the final stage, right? If you read Revelation 22:16, the Lord says what? He will send these things for the church, right? That I think it's good to read this to you. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. So God's goal is not just toward individuals. He needs to gain the church today, which will consummate to be the New Jerusalem in the final stage, right? The New Jerusalem is that unique pattern. Every church must be the New Jerusalem. The model of the New Jerusalem needs to be reproduced in all the churches. B says today, the church is a miniature of the New Jerusalem. One, the proper church life in its genuineness is a small model of the New Jerusalem. What does it mean by miniature? Miniature means a small scale, right? New Jerusalem is huge. It's huge. But now, in the churches, we must have our church life must be this New Jerusalem in a small scale. But all the features should be there, right? This is what by means of miniature. It's small, but yet all the features are there. So every genuine and proper church life should be such a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Then number two, in the miniature of the New Jerusalem, as the paradise of God, we enjoy the crucified and resurrected Christ as the tree of life. One of the outstanding features of the New Jerusalem is that there's the tree of life as the maintenance, as the supply for the whole city. So the New Jerusalem is a paradise. That's why Brother Lee, toward the last part of his life on earth, he told the saints, the church in Anaheim is like a paradise to me. It is not so simple, easy for an older person, older saint who have gone through so much, and then toward the last stage of his life, he could testify, the church in Anaheim is a paradise to me. I hope all the churches, wherever you are in Chicago, Waukegan, or you know wherever, you can say, the church here is a paradise to me. I mean, that surely indicates this church life is a little miniature of the New Jerusalem. It's an enjoyable place. It's not a place of duty, of demand, because you have to be here. You love to be here because it's a paradise. The number three, the body Christ, the corporate Christ, is the church as a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Actually, after we have seen all this, you will realize the corporate Emmanuel, the body Christ, ultimately, they are just the miniature New Jerusalem. Amen. Right? They're the same. That corporate Emmanuel will consummate to be that New Jerusalem. And the body Christ will consummate to be that New Jerusalem. Okay, now the last point covers aspects, the various aspects of the holy city, New Jerusalem, expressed in the church as a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Although there are many more aspects than these eight, but these eight were just selected to highlight some important features. But there are more than that, okay? How about brothers? You read point one. So this is a reality of Emmanuel, God with man. And God even mingled with man, right? To become that meal offering. I didn't have the time to cover yesterday that, corporate Christ, body Christ, should be a meal offering church life, right? A meal offering is out of fine flour and oil, with salt, no honey, with frankincense. That's signifying in the church life, there are many offerings, five major offerings in the Old Testament. Meal offering is the unique offering that is food for God and for man. For instance, burnt offering was totally to be consumed by God, for God. Man has no portion. But meal offering, there is something for God to eat and something for man to enjoy. So this meal offering signifies the fine, balanced, pure humanity of Jesus. That's what flour signifies in the Bible. The humanity of Jesus yet is mingled with oil, which signifies the Spirit of God, right? And also there is frankincense mingled in there, which signifies resurrection. So the church life is a meal offering. the bread that we partake of, right? We are one loaf. We are one bread. So the meal offering is, one of the meal offering, one kind, is to offer a loaf, a bread. So when we break the bread, we should be reminded we are a meal offering church life. Enjoyable to God, enjoyable to man. So as we are partaking of the bread every week, this is not just a ceremony. This is not some kind of an objective remembrance. We are really testifying to the whole universe, this is how we enjoy the church life. Amen. We eat the church life. Amen. We eat this bread. We eat the meal offering. We eat the church life. Amen. The church life is a real meal offering with a fine, uplifted humanity, with the resurrection of Christ, and also the death of Christ, that is the salt, mingled together to produce this loaf that is satisfactory to God and man. Okay, sisters, you read number two. So in the church life, we enjoy the triune God. Amen. We don't just enjoy God, we enjoy the triune God. Amen. The one, the Father who purpose, the Son who accomplish, and the Spirit who applies. Amen. Right? Even as we break the bread, as we enjoy this table, through the Son's work of redemption, we are brought back to our source to that we can worship the Father. So in the church life, we enjoy the dispensing of the divine Trinity, right? The Father as the source, the Son as the cause, and the Spirit as the flow to reach us. This is our enjoyment in the church life. We are not just kind of an objective worshipers of God. We enjoy the flowing, dispensing, triune God. Amen. In the church life. Okay, brothers, number three. That's why it's called New Jerusalem. Amen. New Chicago. new. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, because, you know, God is new. Under the heaven, nothing is new, right? Everything is being done has been done already. The newest thing is Jesus. Amen. The very triune God, he is the real newness. Amen. So, in the church life, there should not be any oldness. Even the older ones, age-wise, we may be old. But spirit, we are not old. Amen. We all have the newness of spirit. Amen. Newness of life. Okay, sisters on four. Amen. The New Jerusalem is a kingdom. It's a realm. So it's the church life today. It's the kingdom of God where God can rule and reign. Elders don't rule. Co-workers don't rule. God rules. Amen. Right? In every church, there must be a throne. The church is not a democratic place. Everyone casts a vote. The church, we all submit to God's throne. Amen. God's authority. Amen. Okay, brothers, five. The New Jerusalem as a golden lampstand is a testimony. It shines forth God. So every local church is also such a golden lampstand, bearing testimony to shine forth the triune God in all the localities. The church in Chicago is a golden lampstand. The city set upon a hill cannot be hid. It's a golden lampstand. When people come, they see something shining here. Everything, everywhere else is darkness. Only when they come here, they see the light. Okay, sisters, number six. The Saints, we are all in a romance, in a divine romance. The New Jerusalem is a wife, and the church life today should be full of this love for the Lord. The more you come to the meeting, the more you fellowship with the saints, the more our hearts should be drawn to love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Even after these 2 days, don't you love the Lord more?
Yes.
Oh, the more you see him, the more you hear about him, the Lord, you just want to say, Lord, I love you more.
Amen.
I haven't seen enough of you. I want to know you more, that I even love you more.
Amen.
The church must be of such a place, full of this motivation of the love of God. Okay, brothers, on 7. Amen. Isn't this wonderful? You have 4 languages here in the church in Chicago. All the languages, you know, unlike in many denominations, you'll be sectioned out. You know, you have a Chinese denomination, a Spanish denomination. They cannot talk with each other just because they cannot understand. But in the church life, even if we cannot understand, we can still blend together.
Amen.
It's really mysterious. We can fellowship with a non-understandable language.
Amen.
You know, we have many, you know, we have some Chinese saints in our church. You know, older saints, 80, 90 years old. Every Wednesday, they, you know, get together to go over the morning revival. Yesterday, or this week, we had some new trainees came, and they host a lunch for these trainees. I mean, you know, these trainees, and they cannot speak Chinese. But I tell you, it doesn't matter. You can speak or you cannot speak. They just see in their face and say hallelujah. Their hearts are just on fire.
Amen.
Saints, the church life is a life of fellowship.
Amen.
A life of blending.
Amen.
That's what the New Jerusalem is. Okay, let's all read the last point together. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you at rest here?
Yes.
God is at rest.
Yes.
We are also at rest.
Yes.
This is a mutual dwelling place. God dwells in man. Man dwells in God. This is the New Jerusalem. This is also the church life today.
Amen.
Right? Well, saints, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know there's a lot to digest. A lot to just enjoy, you know, for the days to come. Just, I hope this becomes a vision to you. Don't ever forget the corporate Emmanuel.
Amen.
The corporate body Christ.
Amen.
The miniature of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Here we enjoy Christ as our all.
Amen.
Christ as our everything.
Amen.
Okay? Brothers, shall we...